Hey there, little murder-obsessed friend. This is Amy.
And this is E.
You're listening to Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. This episode is brought to you by my dad. You guys, how weird is that? I love it. My parents, God love ya. Thanks for listening.
I love the support. Like, how sweet. You know? My parents would never. My parents would simply never. They couldn't even be bothered to follow or, like, click like or anything like that. So, thank you. The support means everything. We love it.
Love it. He's not on the Instagrams, so.
That's okay. He doesn't need to, like, be. My mouth like is eating on the Instagram, so just keep it over here.
My mom is not a true crime girly, so the fact that she listens, just, they're the best cheerleaders. So we love you for suggesting this. It is a really.
Or just even pretend to listen, you know? Like, it's okay if you don't listen to every episode. You could just screenshot it and share it in your stories, and I won't tell anybody. I don't even know, and I will still be so fucking excited. Okay, so challenge to
Let's
you.
Let's be honest. There are some episodes I don't listen to either. So, you know.
No, I lived it once. Winners. I'm not going to live it again.
They're not all winners, but this one's a real winner. I'm super excited to talk about a holiday-themed case that happened around Thanksgiving in the good old year of 1928. I love a good oldies. I love
the
a good oldies.
The
20s old time.
Are very special. Like, I really like to romanticize the 1920s. I feel very much about it. I feel like I could technically kind of sort of, now I would have gotten a lobotomy, unfortunately. And fortunately, whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like I also could have been born in the 1920s because I do not like to wear short dresses or low-cut things. However, if you told me that I could not wear a revealing outfit and dance and smoke and drink and cuss,
right.
Well, friend, here I am to flap it on up.
For
and
sure.
I'm going to flippity flap, 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 flap your theories on out of here. Like, there's right? You know?
Definitely the rebels of the 1920s,
I love,
which is
great. I love the rebelliousness of it. I love the feathers. I love the ruffles. I love the pearls. Everything was shiny. And, like, the coupe glasses for the champagne, you know, and they were all, like, crystal. It makes me think of the Great Gatsby, and I really like
the
Great Gatsby. Yes.
This case is nothing like the Great Gatsby.
No, it's not. But I wanted you to go there with me.
Well, yeah, so like before. Take your brain there before we get into all of the nitty gritty of this.
Stomp it right in the ground.
Smash you in the face. We're on the other side of the holidays. Everybody is alive, at least in.
Are they? Welfare check. Is Chris right. alive? The children?
Everyone in our house is accounted for. The children friends go back to school. My husband is alive and well, and we didn't murder each other. So that is also, we'll chalk that up into the win category. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? How was your holiday-ness?
Well, we had house guests more days in December than we did not. So it was a lot. And, okay, I know it's so stressful, at least for me, to have a full house for the holidays, and yet there is nothing more special to me than having a full house for the holidays, because if I'm going to do the whole shebang, like, let's do it. Like, let's make this feel like it. Like, I have had, like, for the past couple years or whatever, not all the time, but, like, Thanksgiving. I don't like Thanksgiving anymore because we sit down and I eat, just for reference, I eat Sanchez Sunday brunch every day with the Sanchezes, my husband's side of the family. And so and then with my parents, it's my brother, his girlfriend, my family, and then just my parents, right? So when we sit down for these, like, Thanksgiving dinners, it just feels like another.
Right, it's just another
day. Just another day. It doesn't feel like anybody tries. Like, they did cook, like, they right. didn't do it from scratch. They just put together what they had to put together to get through it. And it's like, well, let's just not do anything and pretend like we did. And so I'm all about, like, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. At one point in time, I looked around the living room and counted more than 20 Sanchezes, and those were not the only last named people in our house.
Right.
And so special.
That is really special. And also, get out. But it's so nice. It is
yes,
so
we had a family
nice.
Of seven sleep upstairs after a couple from Wales had stayed with us for two weeks.
I feel like a long time. Yeah.
Yes. And so they were, so the people from Wales were here for like 10 days and then our cousins were here for 7 days. And then my prima, so my girl cousin, she brought her parents. And now they are the most joyous house guests. Like they clean up, like they're so kind. Oh, wow. They're so gracious. Like they're the best. And I am still so glad that they are gone. Like I cannot wait for them to come back. And I'm so glad that they are gone for just a couple of days. Like, let's just, you know.
It's the space. It's the routine. It's
getting things back to normal.
I sit here and drink my coffee and you're sitting there and I don't want to tell you to move because that seems rude. And yes, I get it.
And I am no longer a short order chef for anybody. Well, I'm other than my own family members.
You have to be. That's like legally you're obligated.
Yes, but I mean, and I like making breakfast for every. I do acts of service. That's something that I like to do. So
yes.
That's how I want to be loved. So I enjoy loving people like that. And so it was a thing that I put upon myself and we could have made things easier. But that's just me. Right. I did, however, watch a shit ton of Godzilla movies. All the Godzilla movies, except for the animated ones, because I didn't like the animations, because the mouth, because I think it is in either like Japanese or some other Mandarin or something like that. And so the mouths don't move correctly. And the anime, I don't like the way the characters are drawn. I love anime, but not that. So apparently I'm a Godzilla person. Also, Gypsy Rose got released. I know.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Gypsy, welcome back.
Thank you, because I had so many good things to tell my family members. Everybody was like, wow, what? And I got to wow them with that. And I also, because we were talking about Gypsy Rose, I got to talk about the titty massagers. So it was just a all around wonderful holiday, right?
Gypsy Rose and cults, like, could you ask for a better conversation?
Nobody asked, but I gave it to them.
Listen, it was a gift freely given. So I love it.
Okay, so it wasn't like the best holiday season, but it was so, so good. In the moment, it felt kind of shitty during parts of it because obviously if there's like 20,000 of us together, there's going to be some kind of drums no matter what, right? So some of it I was like, I'm going to die here. But the overall consensus was that it was wonderful or at least good.
Good enough, right?
What about you? Yeah, good enough.
It was too much togetherness time, but not enough togetherness time,
oh,
if that makes sense. So we, Chris and I work for the same company. We're starting a nonprofit currently, and we had 2 full weeks off of work that is planned, and we will be choosing to shut down the 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's every year. That's like our thing. It's a time super not busy for the work that we do. Both Chris and one of our other folks that work with us have a birthday in December. So it just makes sense. And the kids are out of school. Everybody has kids. It was great. But I don't know. I cannot tell you the last time I didn't work over a break. So this was very bizarre for me. Like it was very weird to not also have to work during that time. So
not that's just your norm's life because you work at home full time.
I do.
And because during COVID, you had the kids at home with you while you were working full time. So you're like, wait, but what do you mean? I have to sit together with you and we've got to talk and.
Right. And do stuff. But also I get to do all those things I've been talking about doing. So it wasn't very restful, but it was super nice because now that like tomorrow we go back, everything is like
your mind is rested.
Yes. Like I'm super ready. Yes. Super ready to go back. We've removed so much stuff from our house. I've been to Goodwill like 3 or 4 times over the last 2 weeks, which I love. The holidays themselves were good. We got to spend time with my family, which was nice. I mean, all around I would give it a solid A. I feel like it's so hard because it's stressful, but I would love to meet somebody who doesn't at least feel that way once during the holiday season. Let me meet you because I want to pick your brain. I just don't know of anybody who walks out of a holiday with their family.
A 1930s father.
Yes.
From the 1930s with a cigarette and a beer. Well, I done went to work and I done made this possible. Right?
Right. Yes. I don't think anybody does that.
No,
now.
I don't want to meet those people, actually.
I don't either.
You say you want to, but you don't, because we want to surround ourselves with people who also stress the fuck out over whether or not their children's lives are going to be spectacular and miraculous and sparkle, sparkle, unicorn glitter, because we should. That's what a good parent does, and we are good parents, and we want to surround ourselves with people who are also at least trying to be good parents.
And don't tell me you're not stressed, because I think you're kind of lying. Like, I just don't know that that's ever the case.
Or you can help me out. You're not stressed because I got some shit over here that I could unload on you.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I am super intrigued to be closing out the holiday season with the holiday crime. Thank you for the suggestion. Before we do that, do you have a show and tell for us?
Yes, and I'm going to try to make it quick. Okay, so we're still not buying things, right? Okay,
no,
so we're purging. We're brain relaxing. Okay,
yes.
I have an app for you, and it is called I Want Watermelon.
I saw this. And I play a lot of games on my phone, admittedly.
Do you?
Or not. But
okay, I never tell people that I do, because I'm, for whatever reason, like, so embarrassed that it's stupid or whatever.
Yeah,
so
I used to be really embarrassed, and then
I play Pokemon Go. So if anybody plays Pokemon Go, hit us up and I will be your friend. I also play Merge Mansion, which is like fine, but my new obsession is I Want Watermelon, and it is like Candy Crush and Tetris and I don't know, something else like put together, because you drop the fruits from the sky to make bigger fruits, but you just have to put a pair of two, and that makes a bigger fruit. But then that fruit therefore becomes bigger on your screen too.
Okay,
so like
so
a
like
grape
a
becomes
situation.
Yeah, so like a grape becomes like a strawberry that becomes like a lime that becomes like a lemon and a peach and da 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 until
All
you
right.
get to a watermelon.
What happens when you get to the watermelon?
That's good. I don't like that. Okay. Exactly. But you don't lose. There's no like levels. Like you can get higher points.
That.
Exactly. You can get like higher points and stuff like that. But it's it's free. It's just all, it's so basic. Aurora begged to do it the other day and I was like, but I let her.
That seems like a really easy and nice
game. She was so good at it.
Right?
She really enjoyed it too. Like, so I think that it's such a great game to also download on the kids, like tablets, pads or whatever. And then you could even like not play together, but like play together. Like if you're going on a trip or something like that, you know, every minute or even when you're, so when we were sitting around the living room cousins and like everybody's on their phone, I don't want to doom scroll anymore. There's only so many times like I can read the same status, like I'm trying to be better about that. So then I pulled up I Want Watermelon, which again is still my phone, but it feels a little bit different.
Yeah. I love that.
Feels like a brain dump. And I'm also going to go ahead and link some word searches. I know I said we weren't buying anything, but I'm going to link some word searches in the Amazon store, because my mom bought me word searches for when my baby had surgery here recently because she did not think that I was going to be able to sit there and like I enjoy reading. She didn't think that I was going to be able to read or even like she's like a reason to get on the phone. I love word searches. They make me feel super intelligent. I'm the best word searcher ever. I'm sure you are too. And it's a nice like again little brain dump. So I've been doing I Want Watermelon and word searches to help like relax and get my brain back into I don't know. It's better than like reading one more thing about like the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City online. Even though I fucking love it, I'm gonna read that.
Right.
Don't worry, I'm gonna read that. But right now, like, let's just do something else.
But I'm gonna read one article and not seven. Like, I'm gonna
choose the same thing.
Some other thing to do. I love that. I think that we don't spend enough time as people. We look for the easy, right? And sometimes the easy is to doom scroll on Instagram or to flip through TikTok and so sometimes you have to just find.
But then I'm just like comparing myself to all these people, and it's stupid because those people aren't real. I'm not real on the internet either. Like I'm as real as I can be, but
but you're not going to be like showing all the awful because you don't want to record those things. And like, that's okay.
Yeah, you can protect yourself. That's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like, that's smart. That's human nature. It's evolution. Yeah, everybody's social media presence is what they perceive themselves to be, or what they perceive for sure. themselves that they want to be, not necessarily who they are.
Agreed. Well, those things will be linked in our show notes if you want to check them out. And
they're large print word searches too.
Oh, I love that. You're welcome. I love a granny word search. Just and protect
them. They're little, so they can go in your little pocketbook.
Oh, that's yeah. nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love,
you know, like a little mini calendar.
Yeah. Oh my God. With like a cat on the front and a basket. Oh my God.
Oh,
love it. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's
the case.
Case. This tragic tale begins with a man named John Blymeyer. He was born in York County, Pennsylvania in 1895. And at the time, the area he was living was super saturated with superstition and lore, specifically of the Pennsylvania Dutch. I live somewhat near where, like, a lot of Amish people live, and I know, like, Amish and Pennsylvania Dutch are sort of similar.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Do you see them with their horse? And do you know that I am very into the Amish culture and I find it incredibly fascinating, and I have read numerous Christian books on the Amish culture, and some other ones. I'm into it.
I did not know that about you.
I did not realize you live close there because I don't know anything about geography. Geography is confusing. And what in the world? Not me.
Not close. Like, if I was to go down the street, I would see Amish people. But, like, right outside of Columbus, there are some Amish communities still. And then outside where I grew up, there are some Amish communities. Like, within a 30-minute drive. So
okay.
We've been, you know, you see them in public sometimes because, like, they're at, like, the zoo or, you know, like, just it depends on where they are.
I'm sorry, I thought that made me.
Not like
they're at the zoo, on display.
On display at our zoo, at our local zoo. No, but they're not, like, the same, but they're similar. So I was not aware that was a thing about Pennsylvania Dutch, that they were, like, superstitious and into all that, but
I can see it.
They were. I can too.
It's like Louisiana people, like the Creole people. Now, well, like, now when I say it, you're like, oh, yeah, they are superstitious. But if yeah. I was like, oh, people in Louisiana are superstitious, you'd probably be like, are they?
Not, but they are.
They
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like that.
It is totally like that. So as late as the early 1900s, this part of the state held a strong belief in witches, witchcraft, and folk magic. And they participated in something called powwows. Now, this is a different powwow than a Native American powwow.
Yes.
I have not been able to find, like, the distinct differences, but this is not, it's not the same.
A powwow for the Native Americans, from the knowledge that I have gained over the years from following, I find powwows, the Native American powwows, to be incredibly beautiful, and I love to watch the dancers. Sure. Like, I'm yes. a big fan, and I'm a big fan of Dervish dancers too, the Danish Dervish dancers. Really, like, Dervish? I'm a big, yeah. I'm a huge. So I really like to watch the ceremonies and stuff like that. I think theirs is more through song and dance that makes the ceremony.
Okay.
Like, more of a ritual, like powwow is more of, like, powwow for us white peoples is right. more of a voodoo, if you will, in my personal opinion.
Okay. The thing that I want to make sure that we're making clear is that, like, this is not, I don't want to appropriate anybody, but
no.
I want to point out that these are different things, but for them, this is very similar to, like, witches, witchcraft, that kind of realm of things. They would cure illnesses through faith healing using magical powders, potions, and charms. And in addition, they could hex and remove hexes depending on the vibe, right? Like, depending on whether they needed to give a hex or take a hex, you know, take a penny, give a penny. Every good witch needs a good spell book. And in this instance, the book was called Powwow, The Long Lost Friend, by John George Homan.
I looked up a little bit of it, so I might come in here and there with a little bit more info. But right now, what I found so far was that powwows were brought to when Pennsylvania was colonized from the German-speaking people in Central Europe. So that is why it's different, because, I mean, they would have come from completely different countries and backgrounds.
So is this...
But they still use prayers and gestures.
They call
and,
it a powwow?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've just never heard anything other than like a Native American indigenous powwow, but I believe you.
It's very peculiar. I've never heard of the Pennsylvania Dutch one, so...
I didn't either. So, you know, we're learning something new
we're,
here.
We're all here together. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I'm just telling you right now that I don't like it. Anyways, so here we go.
Wow. This sort of sets the stage, right? Simpler times, just using our powers, living out there, just being our best witchy selves. I looked into this book, and I'm not going to lie, I'm going to add it to my to-be-read. I think it's very fascinating. We will toss a link in the show notes for good measure. And you can always check our socials. If you're looking for something we've recommended, chances are there's a link either in the show notes for the episode or in our socials show notes. So like book recs, all that kind of good stuff. Anyways, back to John. Locals describe John as a simple man suffering from a lifetime of poor health and bad luck, which... Sam's brother. Like, that sucks. You know, he regularly experienced bouts of real and imagined debilitating illnesses and had nearly constant headaches. Here's where it gets, you know, sad. John's got a lot of other issues. His first child died within 5 weeks of being born, which is absolutely heartbreaking. But then his second child was born premature and lived only 3 days. He's not having a good time. It's really rough. And as with most of the time when you have loss, it either really brings you together or it really drives you apart. His wife eventually divorces him. And then he loses his job because his health had gotten worse. John's not doing well. So slowly over time.
Like Dorinda would say, I'm not well, bitch.
He is not well, bitch. So either. So shortly over time, or slowly over time, he was convinced that he had been hexed, as one does, right? Like here, he's like, I am hexed. There's something wrong with me. I got to figure this out. John was a practicer of powwow, which, like I said, is not to be confused with the Native American powwow. So he knew that the curse could not be removed until the identity of the one who cast the hex was discovered. And over the years, he consulted more than 20 witches, but no one was able to help him.
That's a lot of witches, my dude. 20 of them. Okay. He eventually meets Nellie Knoll, which, like, how cute is that? I wonder if she's friends with Nessie.
Nellie and Nessie Knoll. They're related.
They're brother and sister. One lives in the lock, and the other, you know, concocts hex remedies for you down the street. So she's adorable. She's in her 90s. Apparently she's a witch with a formidable reputation, and I just want to be her friend.
Love
it. Nellie explained that this spell was the cause of his bad health and horrible luck. Okay, duh. That's what John thought. Nellie even identified the witch as a rival of hers, Nelson Ryamair. Apparently he's the villain. He's hexed John, which, wow, look at that. She knew exactly who did it, and it just so happened to not be her friend. That is such a coincidence.
Nellie, I'm not sure, friend.
Wow. At first, John is like, nah, friend. It's a no for me. Nelson had always been kind to him when John was 5 years old and suffering from something that locals called apenema, which is just a wasting condition. They thought it was brought by from a hex, but it was probably more than likely brought by from malnutrition or not having clean water, just being a sickly person as he was. He cured him, though. Nelson cured him then. And when John turned 10, he returned to Nelson. And Nelson employed him, and John dug potatoes for him for like 25 cents a day or something like that, which, wow, that's not enough money. Anyways, Nell now has to prove herself. She has to just, you know, let him know this is the truth. I mean what I say. She told John to take out a dollar bill, to stare at the dollar bill, still stare at George Washington's face specifically. He stared at George's face and saw that dissolve into the face of Nelson. Your brain is very powerful. And if somebody tells me, look, also, what kind of opiates had she maybe had him ingest right before this? Like,
who's a lot of concoctions happening. Yeah, who knows?
They had wine with breakfast. So I'm not, like, I mean, this isn't the 1800s. But
right.
I just, you know, okay, sure. Sure, he did. So Nellie explained that to break the curse, he would need to steal Nelson's copy of The Long Lost Friend. Remember, like, the book for the powwowers.
Yeah.
And he also needed to remove a lock of his hair. Next, he needed to bury those items 6 to 8 feet underground. Easy peasy, right? Let me just, I'll crawl all in.
Find
your secret magic book.
I'm in it.
And cut a fucking lock of your hair.
Right.
He's a powerful wizard. Sure. Sure, I'm on it. Sure. I'm the man for the job. So John knew that Nelson was 60, which in the 30s,
it's pretty
means you're decrepit, right? You know, you're on your way out. However, John was 6'2", and he was really powerfully built. He was also a fucking wizard.
An actual wizard.
At least John thought that's what he went. He employed him several, like, at least at one time to help him, and it miraculously cured him. And then, like, he works for him, and he sees, like, all this work that he's doing, and he believes him. And now I do believe a little bit in these hex doctors and these hex witches, because, you know, I'm all about a good herb. And I know that certain herbs will help you, like, boost your immune system and help with migraines and those kind of things. So, like, I could see how if somebody didn't have the knowledge of plants and then somebody else does, and they're, like, mixing it together over a fucking cauldron. Yes, they look like they're just doing debaucherous stuff when really and truly, like, I don't know, they're doing a simmer pot on the stove so their house smells pretty. Like, who's to say, right? But I also know that intentions mean everything, and so there's not a fine line, but there's a fine line. It's just, I don't know. It's all a stretch for me. So John knew that Nelson would not give up his spell book without a fight, and so John enlisted two teenagers. Another John Curry, he was 14, and then Wilbert Hess, 18, to help. And this is why you should not let your kids be friends with grown-ass adults, because that's weird.
It's so weird. I don't like it. And don't ask teenage kids to do your dirty work. This happens so often in a lot of the cases we read about, whether it's from the 1920s or 2001, you get these creepy old dudes that are instilling the help of young kids, which
they're so easily impressionable. That's not nice.
It really isn't. So, and at this point, I mean, it's 1928. He's probably
40 something.
Yeah. So he's not.
You shouldn't be hanging out with a 14-year-old. There's nothing wrong with, like, your friends being friendly with your kids and, like, your friends maybe taking those kids to the movies with their kids and stuff like that. But if they're, like,
I want to be your buddy, it's not okay. It's weird.
Yeah.
I don't like it. So, on Thursday, November 27th, in 1928, under the light of the full moon, John and his two teenage accomplices drove to Nelson's weathered two-story farmhouse, which was in Winterstown, Pennsylvania, so pretty close to where they lived. Obviously, like, they're in the same community.
That sounds like such a cute little town, too.
Doesn't
Winterstown? Oh, I bet, like, the winter time there is just
a Hallmark movie.
Beautiful. I bet it sparkles.
In Pennsylvania, for sure.
Oh.
They were armed with sticks and 25 feet of rope, and they demanded that the old man, who they believed to be a witch, surrender his spell book. When Nelson refused, they began to physically fight each other. John choked Nelson, and Curry, the 14-year-old, smashed him in the head with a block of wood. At the trial, John totally throws Curry under the bus and says that he delivered the fatal blow on that day. So, like, a grown man
But he's 14. Boy. And let me say, I could have hit somebody in the head with a bottle when I was 14, but I might have not actually, I know that sounds so silly, but I might have not actually realized it would have killed them. You know, like your brain is not fully developed at that point. Like you might not understand the full.
Right. And depending on the relationship, like, right. And if these boys didn't have like a good upbringing or parents at home or good role models somewhere that were helping them. It's just sad. And then to hide behind a 14-year-old, please don't.
Don't do it.
The three of them ransacked the house and searched for the book, but they were unable to find it. So they doused Nelson's body with kerosene and set both his body and the house on fire. Believing that the curse was finally lifted and all evidence of the crime was going to be erased by the fire, he and the boys fled. Oddly enough, now this is the weird that I would love to know more about, Nelson's body and the old wooden house didn't burn. It just smoldered for a while, and many locals believe that even in death, his powwowing powers were strong. Like there was some sort of a protection spell on the house or something, but I mean, things burn. And when a body and the house isn't burning, that seems very weird to me. So Nelson's body was discovered the next day after some neighbors noticed that the animals that lived on his farm hadn't been fed. And the trio was soon apprehended and they did stand trial. They were found guilty and sentenced to life behind bars. But later they were paroled and all three of them went to go live normal lives. And that is the tale of witchcraft and murder in Hex Hollow. Dun dun dun.
But why parole? Like the 14-year-old maybe.
Yeah.
The 18-year-old, okay, with some mental help after that. LOL. In the 30s, like that was going to happen. But
right.
Okay. But John, like our dude John, he should have rot in jail. Like what? He murdered somebody. He had accomplices in murder. So not only did he, now you could say that he murdered someone to save himself, but not only did he murder someone, he got two young men, one that was still a boy.
Yeah.
To help him do so.
To follow along with the plan. Yeah.
Yes. And, but does that mean, since he was paroled, does that mean that his hex was lifted?
I mean, it sounds, if you're listening to the trajectory of this hex, he had all this bad luck. Yeah, he was caught. Yes, he was put in prison, but also he was then paroled and went out to just, like, live his life.
So, yes.
So, that sounds like
so he was cured.
A lifted hex.
So, we should all visit Nellie Knoll in our free time.
Yeah.
Go fix our lives.
She's probably still kicking. She's around and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, she was 90 then, so what? She's like 300
now. So she's only 190.
Right. Totally fine.
No, that's not math. But whatever.
I don't know. She's old. She's very old.
She's very old. She is very decrepit. So, okay, friends, that was our case today, and we will see you back next week with a super special guest
that
you've never heard of before. I mean, I think we've prefaced it.
Yeah.
It was before.
Everyone knows who it is.
Yes. I'm so stoked. I cannot wait. You're going to enjoy it so much, and we'll see you then. Bye.
Goodbye.